rough night for both the Cowboys and Sooners last night. Not totally unexpected that they would lose, although the manner, especially the Sooners, my word, what an embarrassment. Both teams lose down in the state of Texas last night.
The start of that game last night, Matt, and I was, you know, it was an ESPN Plus game, so I got my TV, you know, over to ESPN Plus, and I'm settled in, and I'm ready to go. But as you said, the Sooners were not ready. It was about as brutal start to a game, really, as I can remember. Okay, so get this. And OU now, that, by the way, they are 0-5 against top 25 teams. They played a ton of them close. This one last night was not so close in Fort Worth. They had three turnovers before they even got off their first shot.
Oh.
All right, and they were some ugly turnovers. When they finally got off a shot, it was an air ball by the guy that's supposed to be their best player, all right, Grant Sherfield, who went 2-for-11 and 1-for-8 from three and scored 5 points. And like I said, that's supposed to be their best player. But anyway, I digress. But, Matt, so three turnovers before their first shot. I'm pretty sure, Matt, it was up to four turnovers before they finally scored a point last night. But here, get this. The other thing they did very early in that game was they fouled the three-point shooter. And the three-point shooter they fouled, by the way, was Mike Miles, who was just preseason player of the year in the conference, who ended up going 10 for 10 from the line. But they fouled him once. Not only once, but they fouled him twice. I think they did that before they ever scored a point last night, that they had fouled one of the best shooters in the conference twice on a three-point shot.
Well, they
and put him on the line.
Definitely had four turnovers, because I'm looking at the play-by-play right now. Their first points was the Nolan three at 15-14.
But early in that game, they fouled Miles twice shooting threes, and, of course, he made all six foul shots. He made all 10 foul shots that he took on the night.
The second
and
time
led all
was,
scorers with 23 points.
The second time was just after the first bucket, but it was the next possession. So, yeah.
But early on, there
yes,
were two.
Early
on. Yeah, they fouled the three-point shooter a couple of times. So, just right, you know, so once before they scored their first bucket, once right after. Anyway.
Which is a cardinal sin to do it once. And you do it twice in the first 5.5 minutes of a game.
So you're thinking go on the road, limit turnovers, maybe force a bunch of – no, they had almost doubled the turnovers of TCU. I think OU had 15 turnovers. TCU had 8 turnovers in three-point shooting. OU was 5-for-19. That's 26%. They shot 31% from the field. The two guards, I mean, the guys who are supposed to be guys who can create shots or score some points, all right, so Sherfield and Uzan and Milos Uzan went 1-for-10 and 0-for-3 from three. So the backcourt was combined 1-for-11 from three last night. Otega Owe, the guy we bragged on yesterday for his defense, well, his defense better be good because his offense wasn't any good last night. He went 1-for-6 from the field, only 1-for-2 from the line. He scored a grand total of 3 points. Really, the only two guys that did anything for OU last night, C.J. Nolan off the bench, he had 11 points, and his numbers were pretty good, 4-for-6 from the field, 2-for-3 from three, and made his only foul shot. So he had 11, and Godwin had 9 and 7 rebounds, and was, you know, pretty efficient, 4-for-8 from the field, made his only foul shot. Those two guys came to play. I guess we could throw Bijan Cortez in there because he had the 6 assists last night. But knocked down his only three. The OU bench, at one point, Porter Moser just, you know, he got the starters the heck out of there. Might have left, I think, maybe Uzan on the court and benched the other four starters. And you have to admit that the bench was a little more productive than the starters last night. I'm not gonna give them a whole lot more, but a little bit more productive. But, man, This was just a runaway for TCU. And it's a TCU team that was just coming off destroying Kansas, but it was a TCU team that said, okay, yeah, we've gone to Allen Fieldhouse and run-ruled Kansas. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to let up when we come back home? And no, they didn't. Mike Miles had 23. Damian Ball, Peavy, you talked about Peavy yesterday, Matt. And so he had missed a number of games.
Right.
He was back, and all he did was go for 13-9 off the bench, 5 out of 10 shooting. So it looks like he can still play. This TCU team, and they did it last night, you know, playing shorthanded last night because, you know, they didn't have Eddie Lampkin, who remember hurt his ankle and had come back into the game over the weekend, but he didn't even play in this game, Matt.
Well, it was absolutely no contest. It was no contest from the start, like you mentioned. The Sooners had 4 turnovers before they even got on the scoreboard. 31% from the floor, 26% from 3. You think, okay, our shot's not falling. Let's try to get to the line. They didn't do that. They were only 7 of 10 from the free throw line. They got out-rebounded by 8. They had almost twice the turnovers, 15 turnovers compared to 8, at least in the box score I'm looking at. Just a brutal performance. TCU's got a really good team. I don't want to take anything away from TCU. They're, 16-4 now and just won at Kansas.
5-3 now in conference after they were 3-3, yeah.
What a novel concept, winning at Kansas.
Oklahoma, number 11 in the country.
Oklahoma yeah. hasn't done that since I was in the fifth grade. Just a dismal performance. And, by the way, they got the number 2 team in the country coming to town on Saturday. And that number 2 team in the country has beaten Houston, who at times this year has been number 1. So the best team in college basketball may be coming to Norman on Saturday, certainly one of. It will not get any easier, but... I didn't expect Oklahoma to go win this game. From that standpoint, you can whitewash it if you want and say, well, it's just one loss or whatever. What will doom this team down the stretch, Craig, is losing so many of the close games. Those are the ones they'll look back and say, gosh, if we could have just got one or two more of those. But you can easily converse that, Craig, with – we said it yesterday. They're 2 conference wins. They're now 2-6 in conference. Their 2 conference wins are by 1 point in regulation and 5 points in overtime. That means out of their 2 conference wins, their overall cumulative plus minus in regulation is plus 1. So the point is they could just as easy be 0-8 as 4-4. So bottom line, you're 11-9. You're 2-6. You're rapidly falling off of the bubble. By a lot of the projections. And, you've got the Crimson Tide, who are as good as anybody coming to town on Saturday.
Well, at the first media timeout, it was 11-0 TCU. Oh, you already had 4 turnovers that led to 8 of those points for TCU. Porter Moser said it after the game. You talked about the close losses, Matt. He said, our team has bounced back and fought, after so many heartbreaking losses. We lost last possession to Texas. We lost last possession to Iowa State. Last possession, to Kansas. Last possession to Baylor. But he said every game we fought back showed resilience, toughness to bounce back. He said tonight we didn't. Tonight was a total beatdown. And he was correct. OU, 3rd loss in a row, which, Their most lopsided setback was 77-47 to Baylor on January the 28th of 2019, all right? This was their worst one since that one, Matt.
It was pretty bad.
Now they got Alabama coming in on Saturday.
Well, it's not like this team, is like dealing with some massive, wave of injuries or anything. I mean, they got all their guys. The Groves brothers were nowhere to be found last night. Heck, neither one of them even played 20 minutes. I know Tanner Groves got into foul trouble, but
he ended up fouling out. Moser benched them early, trying to find a spark, and put the reserves in, and they did maybe a little bit better, but TCU's, man, they're a deep team. Wells had a big game against Kansas over the weekend.
Yes.
He only made 1 shot last night. I mean, they got Rondell Walker. He had a big steal. Peavy, like we said, came off the bench firing. But the main thing they have is Miles and Ball are just a tremendous backcourt. And they had Lampkin on the bench last night. But this Xavier Cork, I mean, he had a couple of big blocks in the game. I don't know. They're like I said, they're well coached. They're 16-4. They're number 11 in the country. They are a really good basketball team. Okay, let's get to OSU. And they were in Austin last night to take on the Texas Longhorns. The Texas Longhorns, who are now 17-3 and 6-2 in the conference, tied for the top in the conference after they destroyed the Cowboys 89-75 last night, led by Marcus Carr. Carr had 21 points, 5 assists, knocked down both of his threes, 21 points on only 11 shots last night. So not quite as efficient as Mike Miles was with the 23 points on 9 shots for TCU. But 21 on 11 shots is not bad. And this was kind of the same story, Matt. I mean, OSU was competitive for a little while longer. It was an 8-point game at halftime, but it was just too much Marcus Carr and Timmy Allen. Timmy Allen had 17 points on only 8 shots. He was 5-for-8 from the field, 7-for-8 from the foul line. He also had 6 rebounds. Dessou had 12 points and 8 rebounds, 3 steals for Texas. This Texas team is really good, and they're 10-2 under Rodney Terry, the interim coach. Matt, he took over in mid-December when Chris Beard got suspended and then fired 3 weeks later. And so the Texas win and the Iowa State win over K-State, which we'll get to in just a second, has all three teams now, Matt, sitting at 6-2 in the Big 12.
Isn't that interesting? The three-way tie at the top of the Big 12, and Kansas is not a part of that tie. That's not something you see a whole
lot. They've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, Oklahoma State just didn't guard very well last night. You allow Texas to shoot 51% from the floor. You allow UT to hit 8 of their 13 threes. That's 62%. You get out-rebounded by 14. I know they're missing Cisse, but still, you know, you just get dominated on the glass. Both teams turned it over a lot. Heck, Texas had 18 turnovers by my count, or else, you know, they could have easily scored in the 90s. Yeah, just Texas was really good offensively, and I agree. You have to give it up to these players and coaches for hanging together. You know, again, Chris Beard's an excellent coach. Now, we've since learned some things about Chris Beard that, you know, aren't all that, you know, good. But as far as being a basketball coach, he knows what he's doing. And for them to not only lose him, but to have, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of opinions inside those walls down there about Chris Beard. But you have to give the players and coaches a lot of credit for hanging together. And they're very talented as well. And, you know, Oklahoma State had been playing a little bit better. They got down big to Iowa State on Saturday and battled all the way back to win a game over a very good Iowa State team. And you thought, well, okay, I mean, that's a couple in a row here. They pull away from Oklahoma and then, you know, come back to beat a top 20 Iowa State team. And like you said, we'll talk about their win here in just a second. But, you know, it was kind of I think last night was maybe a little bit of a reality check for Oklahoma State that, okay, yeah, OSU had won a couple of games, but they're not in the upper echelon of this conference.
Well, and they were missing Cisse, like you said, who leads the Big 12 in both block shots and rebounding, but he missed another game with his ankle problem. But the deal was the Texas bench, when you can bring Brock Cunningham off the bench, and Brock Cunningham, known as a defensive specialist, and he hit OSU for 15 points last night on 6 shots, hit all 3 of his threes, 2-for-2 from the foul line, 5-for-6 from the field, only missed 1 shot all night, had 15 points and 5 rebounds, and did what he always does on the defensive end. And so that was his career high, the 15. But anyway, the Longhorns scored their most points in a Big 12 win this season after the first time these two teams played. Texas won a defensive struggle in Stillwater 56-46 on January the 7th. This time, Texas puts up almost 90 points. And like you gave all the numbers, Matt, 51%, 61% from three. I mean, you know, 85% from the line. They just didn't miss many shots last night. And I tell you, Marcus Carr, he's playing a 6th season of college basketball.
Which is unheard of nowadays.
And yeah, only active player with at least 2,000 points, 600 assists, 400 rebounds. He's got over 2,000 career points, 2,099 now, 494 rebounds, and he's got 679 assists after last night. And the Longhorns lead the league in scoring off the bench at more than 27 points per game. They got 29 points off the bench. So This is just a really, really good basketball team. And now, Matt, this weekend, we got a great matchup. Texas is ranked number 10, going to be at Tennessee in the SEC Big 12 Challenge on Saturday. And so that's going to match Rodney Terry against his former boss,
yep.
Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes, yep.
Terry was an assistant for, from 2002 to 2011 when Barnes was at Texas, took Texas to the Final Four in 2003 during that time period. So anyway, yeah, when Chris Beard had the trouble, you know, you're thinking, well, maybe Texas, you know,
yeah,
how
what's
much
it
is that
going to
affect this
yeah,
team?
Yeah, right.
And they might drop down in a very competitive conference. Nope, right now they're still sitting there tied at the top with Iowa State,
you know,
and K-State.
I know that often in these Big 12 SEC challenges, seems like most of the time they pair up Kansas and Kentucky for obvious reasons, two
yeah.
of the blue bloods in the sport, and usually Texas is going to play somebody good. Boy, I almost wish Alabama was playing somebody other than OU, not just so OU would have a chance to win, but just from the standpoint, I'd like to see Alabama go against, you know, one of the better teams in the Big 12, like a Texas or a KSU
or
Iowa State or Kansas, somebody like that. But yeah, no, I really enjoy this deal they do, Big 12 SEC. It's cool. It's kind of like a, you know, it kind of gets you in the mood for the NCAA tournament. You know, this portion of the year, Craig, you're so used to watching teams play the same teams, and to see them play somebody out of conference is fun. I'm just saying it's a shame that OU is so down when they're about to play, you know, again, arguably the best team in the country.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
One of the best matchups, in the country last
yes,
night. I mean, you got number 5 K-State going up against number 12 Iowa State, the number 5 team on the road. And, man, I couldn't get away from this one, Matt. Iowa State finally wins it, 80-76. We've ragged about their defense. Did you see Jeff Van Gundy at the game last night?
Yes.
He's got some ties to that Iowa State coaching staff and
right.
so forth. But it was just – two teams that get after it on the defensive end. I love to watch Marquise Noel. Did you see, Matt, one time he pulls up. I am not kidding. It had to be at least 32, 34 feet.
I did.
And it wasn't like at the end of a shot clock or at the end of the half. He just pulls up. He knocked down 4 out of 5 threes. He's got unlimited range. Really wasn't that hot from the field. 6 for 17. Led K-State with 23 points last night. But this Iowa State team, Matt, they are just so good. Their backcourt, I love Kalsher and Caleb Grill. Caleb Grill, we talked about coming off injury. He did play last night, played 25 minutes, still only scored 5 points, but he's not 100% right now. But the guy that led him last night, Jaron Holmes. Jaron Holmes goes 8 for 11, 23 points, 7 assists, knocked down a couple of threes, 5 out of 6 at the line. He was great. Lipsy. All of them get after it on the defensive end. Osunyi, or however you say his name, he had 16 points last night, Matt. Got to the foul line, made 8 out of 11 at the line. They made 19 out of 25 at the line last night. But it's rare that a team like K-State, because Iowa State gets after it on the defensive end, but K-State still knocked down 52% of their shots and 9 out of 16 threes. So if you just told me those numbers before the game,
yeah.
Matt,
all right.
I'd say, well, K-State's – you tell
they
me
got a good
K-State's
chance to go in there and win.
Yeah, they're going to shoot 52% and 9 out of 16 threes. They're probably going to win this game.
I probably wouldn't have believed you going against Iowa State as well as they defend. I probably said, no, they're not going to do that. But, well, darn sure they did.
Iowa State didn't make their threes either. Five out of 16 threes. Caleb Grill only 1 for 4 from three. But Iowa State got it to the basket and ended up making 57% from the field. But this was just a high-level basketball game. So sign me up if these teams you know, when they meet again or in the, you know,
Kansas Big 12
tournament,
or
NCAA tournament,
right,
you know, on down the line. But like we said, Matt, when all is said and done, smoke cleared last night, these two teams tied at 6-2 along with Texas with their win over OSU.
They
also
will,
at 6-2.
They will play again Saturday, February the 18th. These two teams are definitely players for the Big 12. They're definitely players in the NCAA tournament, and two of the three teams tied with Texas at 6-2. And you're right, both these teams defend, but at the same time, both teams shot the ball pretty well last night, especially Kansas State from three.
They just got shot makers.
Yes,
they really do.
You bet.
That Cam Carter, another guy for K-State, in their back, because all year long we've talked about, you know, Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. And neither one of them disappointed. Johnson had 15 points, 10 rebounds last night. Now, he also had 5 turnovers. Noel had 4 turnovers. So, but we talked about Noel's range, how he can make shots. But this Cam Carter, all Cam Carter did was make all 5 of his shots, all 4 of his fouls. He still hadn't missed. I mean, he made his only 3. He made his only 4 foul shots, made his only 5 shots, scored 15 points last night for K-State. And they didn't even win the game. And they got Masood coming off the bench with 13, but Iowa State is, you know, they bounce back. That's how good that win was for OSU and Stillwater on Saturday.
Yes,
because they beat a really good Iowa State team. So number 12 beats number 5. It was in Ames last night.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
LeBron James, we got to give it up to LeBron. 9 threes that he knocked down last night. That's the most he's ever knocked down in an NBA game. He goes 9 for 14 from 3. Scored 46 points. Before last night,
yep,
he had scored at least 40 points against every NBA team except the Clippers.
That's right.
In fact, I was watching the NBA Today or whatever it was yesterday, And they were all betting on it, and Zach Lowe was the only one that he went against LeBron. You know, well, even Perk, I think, said that he would get there. You
well,
know,
Zach,
he would
well,
get to 40.
I'll tell you this: Zach Lowe's a dumbass. Then, because let me tell you something, Craig. I was watching the. It's funny you bring that up, because I was watching the same show, and as soon as they started talking about that, I said there is zero doubt in my mind LeBron James is going for 40 tonight. Just the fact that it got brought up on ESPN TV that he had never done that against the Clippers. It's the only team he'd ever not done it against. I said right then and there, whatever happens tonight, LeBron is going to do it. And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, Craig, but what do you know? LeBron James shot 14 three-pointers in a game.
Well, but they were going in.
I know.
I don't blame him last night.
I can't blame him last night. You're right.
They were going in. Now, the thing about this game, though, is that the Clippers jumped on them right off the bat. They scored 77 in the first half, 37 in the first quarter. Now, the Lakers hung with them for a while. It was 37-30 at the end of one. But then in the second quarter, the Clippers outscored them by 16. And now I will give the Lakers credit. They made a run, and LeBron is just – I mean, he's just shooting out of his mind, all right? And so after being 23 down, the Lakers got it all the way down to 10 points. But they couldn't get it really any further than that. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're
right. It's kind of like, I mean, and after being 23 down, I mean, they were into it, making their run. You're thinking, well, could they pull off the miracle? No, because the Clippers had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And really, It was Paul George that you can make a case was the better of the two last night. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They were about the same. I mean, Leonard had a better percentage, 11 out of 16. George was only 11 for 20. Neither one of them were that good from three. George was 3 for 9, and Leonard missed all four of his threes.
Well, everybody else was.
But they each had 9 rebounds. That's right, from three. Everyone else was. Yeah. You're right, Matt, especially the bench, right? With Norman Powell, this guy, what he's doing lately off the bench, 22 points on only 12 shots. He was 4 for 5 from three.
Your man Reggie Jackson.
Even Reggie Jackson came out fired. He was fired up to play. Reggie, big stage. Reggie, his minutes have been down. He's kind of fallen into the background, especially as they get healthy.
Right.
This we've seen what he's done playoffs the last couple of years. I mean, this guy can still play. He was 4 for 7 from 3, 7 for 13, 19 points on 13 shots. And so you look at it, Matt, they had three guys with at least 20 points, plus Reggie had 19, was right on the doorstep, plus Terrence Mann, he also knocked down four. He was the only one in the starting lineup that was knocking down threes.
Right.
He was 4 for 7 from 3. So you're right, 19 out of 38. The Lakers made 16 threes. Now, LeBron was mainly the only one making them, except for Thomas Bryant. The big man knocked down a couple.
How about Thomas Bryant lately?
Yeah, Thomas Bryant played some good ball for them.
He has. He definitely has.
The guy that's really played well recently for them is Russell Westbrook, and he wasn't so good last night. 17 points on 13 shots, and he missed, 4 for 13 from the field, missed 5 foul shots last night. Only had 2 turnovers, but basically the story last night was LeBron had no help, especially from the starting backcourt of Pat Bev and Dennis Schroeder, go a combined 4 for 17, 2 for 9 from 3. LeBron had no help last night, but as far as his stat chasing of Kareem's record, now LeBron is only 177 points behind. They have an upcoming 5-game road trip that he could break that record on the road trip instead of back home in L.A. I don't know. I think if he's that close, they might even have him take a night off or whatever. They'll probably arrange it for him to do it in L.A.
Okay, so James is averaging 30 points a game. You said he's 177 behind? Is that what you said? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He would be on pace to break it in New Orleans Saturday, February the 4th. Now,
he could. The Thunder
are the next home game.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
He very well could do this against the Thunder on Tuesday, February the 7th, or perhaps the following game, Thursday, February the 9th, against the Bucks. Now, that would be a marquee matchup. Hey, if you want to take it a step further, the game after that, if he rests here and there, which I know LeBron doesn't like to do that, good for him. Saturday the 11th, they're at the Warriors. So I'm just saying there are some primetime games in that stretch in there where he's got a good chance to do it. By the way, before people lose their minds, I know that Zach Lowe is not a dumbass. I'm just saying Craig, when he said that yesterday, because it's so funny you brought that up, because I was watching the show the same time you were, and when that got brought up, there was zero doubt in my mind. It's almost like somebody planted that on ESPN TV and said, hey, talk about the fact that he's never had 40 against the Clippers.
This is the only team that he hadn't scored 40 against. And you tell LeBron. But, man, I'm serious.
No, he hit his threes. Years old, he hit his threes last night. I can't blame him for shooting them
last
night.
And, coming into last night, he was, I think it was like number 153 out of 154 qualified three-point shooters. Seriously, I'm not making this up. It was 28-point-something% that LeBron was shooting from three on the year. And how he can just will himself into 9 threes last – that was incredible to me. But seriously, I'm being serious. 46 points for LeBron at age 38.
How about no turnovers?
I get no turnovers, 7 assists, no turnovers, 8 – no, I mean, the guy – It was a vintage performance for LeBron.
Was.
Now, it didn't come in victory, and it came in a game where they were down so far, and so it really didn't. And finally, they even, put him on the bench late in that game when it was clear that they weren't going to come back,
Well, the Clippers shoot 61%.
He spent the final few minutes on the bench because the game was out of control. So the main story here is that the Clips are not dead yet with Kawhi Leonard, and they interviewed Paul George after the game. He said, they still got a long way to go. They're only 26 and 24. They haven't played that many games together. And they're still missing a few guys. Marcus Morris left the game with bruised ribs. John Wall missed his sixth straight game with the ab injury. Luke Kennard, and Luke Kennard can help him. Wall and Kennard, they can be big pieces to this puzzle. Kennard missed his ninth straight game with a calf injury. But when they get home, I'm telling you, Ty Lue, you know, Ty Lue has won 10 in a row over the Lakers.
Is that
you know,
right?
Since he became the Clippers coach. He just owns them. He just owns the Lakers. Of course, the Lakers hadn't been very good, but
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I'm not totally giving up on my Clips just yet. Okay, there's a whole lot more NBA to get into. You see how they're going to pick the rosters on the All-Star game?
I did. Yes, I did.
They're going to do that. The captains are going to do it that night. We can get into that
so
later.
So guys get voted in, and then literally the night of the game is when they're going to
the captains and,
basically
yeah.
line up and say, you know, you pick, basically. Is what
now, the starters
do.
Are going to be announced Thursday, but, okay, but then as far as who they're playing for and so forth is going to be decided by the captains
right.
At the arena that night.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.